Look at you guys. Anywhere's good. Big strong Nick. Big strong Ashley. Thank you. This is let y'all know something else is coming. See, this is how this works. Set this down. Boy, y'all sound good this morning. Praise the Lord, right? Is it well with your soul? It's good stuff. Ah, good morning. So we're in week number 3 of this passenger series. In fact, it's the last week of the passenger series, and hopefully you've been tracking with us. It's been remarkable. And I don't know if you've been wondering this. This is probably just a Joe thing, but a question came up in my mind, and I'm wondering if you might answer it together in your community groups, or maybe just kind of tell me out loud. But when you're traveling, all right, yesterday I had the privilege of taking a road trip with one of my friends. We went up to Gainesville, watched the Gators win, came back, and I didn't drive. I got to be the passenger the whole way up. And I was surprised at how many things I've never seen on Highway 19 after living here for 20 years, just by looking out the window and not focusing on the people around me, you know, and driving. I don't know, but when you're traveling, do you prefer to be the driver or the passenger? All right, you can go ahead, share with somebody around you. Just let them know. Are you the driver or the passenger? Or do you prefer it? That's a pretty good question. How many of you are passengers, but you wish you were the drivers? No, okay. How many drivers we got out there? All right, that's me. Not that I don't like being a passenger. I enjoy being the passenger, but for some reason, I always drive everywhere, all right? And my wife's a really good driver. I trust her. I trust being in the passenger seat with her, but if you're like me, I'm not real sure. It's not a control thing. Like, I might need therapy. Like, there's something really weird about those first 15 or 20 minutes when I'm sitting in the passenger side going, I wish I was over there. Like, you know what I mean? If you're the driver, if you prefer the driver, maybe that's you. And that's kind of where we've been talking about in this series. I mean, really, it's relinquishing control and being the passenger on this journey of life that we're traveling on when it comes to our relationship with God. And over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about it. Jeff hit on it a minute ago. Josh talked about in the very first week that we have a destination. There's somewhere that we're trying to get to. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus himself. Jesus is the destination. And we opened up our Bibles to John 14, and he showed us that great interchange with Jesus and his disciples, and explained that this would include getting on board with Jesus and knowing that he is the destination today, tomorrow, for all of eternity. And that then becomes our mission. And he talked about our mission statement from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And then our vision statement to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. See, it's all about Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the hope of Jesus. That's our destination, to be with Jesus. And then last week, John chapter 15, Josh explained that there's actually a roadmap. There's a way to get there, that we're going to follow certain markers along the way, and that those markers are found when we abide in Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. You might remember that from last week, John chapter 15. And he talked about the next steps that we have here at CCW and some of the steps that you can follow in order to abide in Christ and get to the destination. Today, I want to look at this third chapter, John chapter 16. John 16, and I want to talk about the driver. The driver. Who is the driver? Like, if I take the passenger seat, who am I trusting over here to get me to the destination? Who am I trusting over here with the roadmap? Like, he knows where we're going and know how to get there. And the driver, John chapter 16, in fact, Jesus refers to this in the other two chapters as well, 14 and 15, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. And what it looks like when we let him drive our lives is what will connect back to our core values here at CCW. So we're going to talk about that in just a couple minutes. But I want to go ahead and start with just kind of going backwards a little bit, because these are the words and promises of Jesus. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I mean, it is going down right now. This is the Last Supper. This is the last time Jesus is going to gather with his disciples. It's the last time he's going to be able to talk to them this intimately. And he's actually going to pray with them and for them. And in just a little while, John chapter 17, Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to be tried unfairly. He's going to be beaten and brutally crucified on a cross to die for your sins and mine. And after 3 days, he is going to rise from the dead. And all of this that we read in 14, 15, 16 is going to start to make sense to the disciples after his resurrection. But right here in this chapter, this is an intimate conversation. This is his last like major time with his disciples. And I think it's important for us to zero in on this. So if you would, I just want you to take a look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. John 16. It's on page 848, by the way, in the Bibles that you have in front of you if you don't have one. And I'm just going to jump right in because these are the words of Jesus. He's got enough to say about the Holy Spirit here that it's gonna really going to get us in the right direction. So in John chapter 16, these very first few verses, he lets the disciples, like he's been talking to them now for two chapters in our Bibles, and it says, I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. What? Like these are his disciples. They're capable of falling away. What's going on here? Ah, wait. He says, there's people here. There's enemies, the Jewish people. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. In fact, the hour's coming when they're going to try to kill you. And then they're going to say that they're offering this as a service to God. They're going to do these things because they have not known the Father and they haven't known me. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, not if, but when their hour comes, you may remember that I told these things to you. When it gets hot, when people start coming after you, persecuting you, trying to kill you, I want you to remember the things I told you. I didn't say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. And then we pick up in John 16, chapter 5. Listen to these words. He's already kind of like freaking them out a little bit. Like there's some bad things going to happen. And he says this, but now I am going. I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Like I said, they're starting, whoa, what's going on here? You just told us somebody's going to try to kill us and persecute. Now you're saying you're going to leave us. So you can see there's some sorrow building here. And then he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's repeating some words he said in previous places in John 14 and 15. Why do you think it'd be an advantage for Jesus to leave them and send this helper? Can you see some, like we've talked about this before? Because Jesus, 100% God, is also 100% man and can't be everywhere at once. But someone's coming who's going to be just as amazing as him, who can be everywhere all at once. God in the Spirit. So he's kind of setting the table for this. And this word helper here, this is the word paraclete. It's the word for advocate, all right? It means there's going to be somebody to come alongside of his people. And this is Jesus's favorite name for the Holy Spirit, by the way. And notice here, he says him. This is a person he's talking about, like a literal like being that's going to come into the lives of his disciples. And he's sent for a purpose. He's sent for a purpose. Look at verse 8. When he comes, when the helper comes, he will convict the world. And this word convict means to convince. Okay, it actually is the process of convincing. So he's going to convict or convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So he's got a purpose. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. See, this is the role of the Holy Spirit. He's going to convict us or convince us of this thing called sin, that we're all in trouble without Jesus. And then also, he's going to talk about concerning righteousness, which means he's going to assure righteousness, how he goes to the Father. Our righteousness is in Christ, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. And this is a warning. All right, we don't know what this means quite yet, but we will in a little while after. Anyway, we'll get into that. But this, if you're part of the world, judgment's coming, all right? So be careful who you align with. There's a warning, but notice the promises here. Notice the promises. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Like, can you imagine the patience of Jesus? Like, he's just, I want to tell you, but I can't. But the Spirit of truth, he's coming. And he's going to guide you into all the truth. And this word truth, aletheia, is the Greek word there. This word true means it's true in any consideration. Like, there's no falsehood. This is no lies, nothing. You don't have anything to worry about. This is absolute truth. And this word guide means to lead. It means to show the way. In other words, he's the driver, and he's going to take us where we need to go. So this Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. So we're learning more and more about the Spirit of truth. We're learning that he speaks. We're learning that he declares. We're learning that he knows what is about to come. And this means that Jesus is, what's about to come? A lot of things are about to come, all right? So the Holy Spirit's going to be the one to try to explain this. And he's probably talking about not only the death and resurrection of Jesus, he's talking about Pentecost. He's talking about the acts of the Spirit in the early church. And we have these recorded in our Bibles. He's talking about the Bible itself, that the Spirit would reveal the truth to these men so that they could record it for us. And that's the thing about the Holy Spirit, this driver. We know today that he speaks through God's word. That's how the Spirit speaks. That's how he declares. And he will always, when he speaks, he will always glorify and always agree with Jesus. In fact, the Holy Spirit will never speak in contradiction to the Bible. So one sure way that we can always tell if a teaching or wisdom or something we're hearing out there is wisdom from God is, does it match up with God's word? That's a sure sign. And the Spirit's guidance, not just the Bible, but it's not limited to the Bible, because we know the Spirit's been around long before the Bible was written. He's not limited to time or space or events or human experiences. So he can guide us in other ways. He can guide us through our conscience, through science, through art, through nature, through his creation. The Holy Spirit speaks through wise human counsel. And all this lines up with God's word. And when it does, he speaks and he writes and he inspires and he convicts and he works. He even nudges some of us, like, where's that coming from? It's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to get us to remind us that he's in the driver's seat. But it's up to us to be the passengers. The Holy Spirit, I think Jesus makes it clear. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit's guidance, it's not because he's not driving or willing to drive. It's because we're not riding with him. We're not in the passenger seat letting him have control. And if we don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking and declaring, it's not because he's not guiding us. It's not because he's not telling the truth. It's because we're not listening. Jesus says the Spirit of truth will guide us into all the truth. And it's our choice whether we're going to surrender, get in the passenger seat, and let him drive. So he goes on. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he will glorify me. Another one of his purpose. Doxoxo, this means that he will always esteem and glorify, magnify, and honor Jesus. He points to Jesus, lifts him up. He makes Jesus known. And he says, he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. And all the Father has is mine. And therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all working together here in this one verse that Jesus gives us. The driver to the destination, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking plainly, especially as we understand it today, but there's some mystery here. Wouldn't you agree? Like, what is this holy? In fact, some of y'all are going, what in the world? This guy believes in ghosts and spirits and all this kind of stuff. But these are the words of Jesus. He is promising the Holy Spirit. John 14, John 15, John 16, it's all pointing to the Holy Spirit. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe the promises of Jesus? Do you believe what Jesus says is true? Do you believe the one who came and lived a perfect life and taught and healed and died on a cross as a perfect sacrifice, and after being dead for 3 days, rose on the third day to come back to life? Do you believe what Jesus says is true? Because now the ball's in our, like, okay, it's in our court. Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to let him drive, or are we going to be the passenger? That's the point of John 16. The coming of the Holy Spirit is coming to help and to guide and to speak and to glorify Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the point. That's where Jesus is going with this. And as we see in the rest of this chapter, we're not going to read that today, but the rest of John chapter 16 and then on through the rest of the gospel, not just to know that he's coming, but then to live with him and for him as he changes our lives. These disciples were going to have to allow the Spirit to take charge. And I think it's interesting, Jesus doesn't teach much about who the Holy Spirit is here. Who he is, only that he is. Like, this is matter of fact. He's affirming this all through his ministry. It's not under debate. And Jesus is talking what he knows to be true. The Holy Spirit is, and not just somebody that we know about, but the Holy Spirit is somebody that we get to know personally and experience with our lives. And I can't stand here on stage and explain that to you. But if you know the Holy Spirit, you know that what I'm saying is true today. And I think Jesus knew that right out of the gate. He's telling his disciples, look, I can't explain this to you, but you're going to know that what I'm saying is true. He's coming, the Spirit of truth. What he does, he is real. He's identifiable. He is the continuing, available, personal presence of God in the life of a Christ follower. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The biblical authors don't even go into detail when they're trying to explain the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. They're just testifying. They're just giving witness of him. I think it's a beautiful thing, and we can do the same. So I'm not going to go into a deep dive today into the Holy Spirit. I promise you there's some great information out there. In fact, if you're interested in studying this some more, that's what we're here for. In fact, I've got a couple slides on the screen I want to tell you about. But the best thing you could possibly do is to make time in your life, these spiritual practices to set aside, like Jeff said earlier from Psalm 46:10, be still and know that he is God. Like, get away from the busy. Look, you've got to let go of the wheel. Be still and know that he's God. Take time to pray. Take time to read God's word. Take time to experience him in your everyday life. Trust him and enjoy the ride. There's some other things you can do. We've got a study guide out there. We've been talking about the whole series, but there's some great resources and studies. It's real short, but it's something you can grab a hold of and enjoy along the way. There's plenty of books out there. One that we recommend here, we've done a study on this on Wednesday night, is called Forgotten God by Francis Chan. It's a great book. It's real short. It's also available on Right Now Media. You can watch the videos for that. There's resources out there. In fact, as we mentioned earlier, Foundations is happening right now. We're doing this on Wednesday night. It's called Foundations Reboot. We're talking about the Holy Spirit just a little bit on Wednesday night this week. In fact, we're talking about it next Sunday during Foundations 1. So we just want you to know what God says about him, and him includes the Holy Spirit. So jump in and study some of these things. There's lots of opportunities out there for you to do that. I'm going to post every sermon that I can find that we've ever preached on the Holy Spirit this week on Facebook, on Sermon Pop. So if you're not aware of that, go ahead and jump on there, and you can go back and research that. In fact, we had a sermon last year from Gary Johnson. Dr. Johnson showed up and preached about how the Holy Spirit speaks. I'm going to post that. So there's lots to learn, lots to get into, and because we really believe that the Holy Spirit can be experienced, I want you to show up next Sunday night on the 26th, this Sunday night on the 26th, for the Remember, Renew, and Repent night. And just sit still and listen and pray and understand that the Holy Spirit's still alive and well today in the hearts of the Christ followers that allow him to drive. So that's this Sunday night. But what Jesus was most concerned about in John 14, 15, and 16 before he leaves earth was that his disciples were aware of this, that they were aware of the coming of the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, when he shows up, then they would allow him to drive their lives through whatever they would face in life. And it was about to happen for them. If you read through your scriptures, you know it's true. This is Holy Spirit-led living. This is living with the Spirit in charge. We see it all through the book of Acts. It's just an incredible thing. And what we want to do as a church is we want to follow in those disciples' footsteps. We want to do that. We want to understand and live life in the Spirit. That is how we were created to live. And the Bible actually says that we can. It's loaded with teaching, not just about the Holy Spirit, but the fact that he will and does drive our life. The Apostle Paul throws a lot of great things out there. I'm going to quote some of his scriptures, but Romans 8, chapter 14 says, all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. If you're being driven by this, if he's the driver, then you know you're a son or daughter of God. In fact, Galatians 5 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He's the driver. Psalm 143:10, you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me. to level ground. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over creation, that breathed life into mankind, that guided God's people throughout the ages, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus himself walked with, the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, his Spirit will come, and he will come into our body. In fact, he has come into the bodies of the Christ followers, into our spirits, and he's connected with us so we can become one with him. And this is the only way possible to live as true Christ followers, is to understand and have that relationship with him. We have got to be driven by God's power within us. And when we allow God's Spirit to be in the driver's seat, when we trust him to take us where we need to go, when we trust him as we abide in Christ, he transforms us and he grows us. It's not about us striving and trying and trying and trying. He does the growing. He does the transforming. He does the guiding. He does the comforting. He will use us. All so that we can do God's will, all that we can do what God has given us to do on his mission, not our mission, but his mission, and to glorify Jesus along the way. In fact, we partner with the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus in our lives. That's what he came to do. So when he's a part of us, that's what we do now. We glorify Jesus. And the more permission you and I give the Holy Spirit in our lives to have control of our lives, the more work he's going to do. He's going to do it, like Jesus said, in matters of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's going to work with us, but we have to give him permission. And the more permission we give the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, the more that he will work through our lives, so more people can know and love and follow Jesus as Lord of their lives. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in us. And he tells us that the first step to Spirit-led living is to get the Holy Spirit in us in the first place. People need to be saved. We need to understand we can be saved by God through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. We get baptized in his name and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, like Acts 2:38 tells us. And we receive this gift that's a sign of our salvation. It's a seal of our salvation. In fact, the Apostle Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God with us, with mankind. The Holy Spirit is God in us, in mankind. And it comes when we give our lives to him. Romans 8, the Spirit of God lives in you. You're not in the realm of the flesh anymore. You're in the realm of the Spirit. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But he goes on in chapter 8 of Romans, God says we can live by the power of the Spirit. He gives us life and peace and strength in our weaknesses. In fact, he intercedes. He prays for us. The Holy Spirit does this. He empowers us. Read Romans 8 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit knows us, gives us understanding, understanding of the Bible, the scriptures, which was written by men, inspired by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 says the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. This is his job. In fact, he goes on in chapter 4, he says, do not grieve the Spirit. Titus, Paul writes, he says, do good works, which is why he saved us by the washing and rebirth of the Holy Spirit. He's doing this. Galatians chapter 5 says that there is fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit that he will grow and we will show. If we're walking in the Spirit, the Spirit's driving, we're going to have love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control, because that's what he does. And if we live by the Spirit, Paul keeps on saying that we will keep in step with the Spirit. We have to be the passengers and allow the Holy Spirit to drive our lives. He'll do the work. So what's this look like? What's this look like in everyday life for you and for me? Well, it happens individually. I think some of us would testify to that. Raise your hand and say, I'm not the same person I used to be because the Holy Spirit's been doing this stuff. Amen to that. But this is also who we are as a church. We're a Spirit-led church. That's why we have these core values I'm going to tell you about, because this is what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and through us. And by the way, these core values, these are things we go through in our foundations class. Every one of you who has decided to become a member here at CCW, part of the family, you've agreed that these values are important. So I just want to show you to them. If you have your bulletins, go ahead and pull them out. You just go ahead and grab them. They're on the back every single week. This is a really interesting little thing here. But what this means is if you're a Christ follower, you've decided to get in the passenger seat, fasten your seatbelt, all right, and let him drive. No matter where he wants you to go, no matter where he wants you to do, and that's why some of y'all are doing some really crazy and important things around here in the kingdom of God, in this church, and in our community, is because you've said yes to the Holy Spirit. And man, it's been a wild ride. And sometimes it's trials and it's struggles and it's issues. And some of y'all don't know where you're getting the peace, because that peace comes from beyond our understanding. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And you're daily living. And it comes from just understanding. This is what it looks like when we live this way. The first one on the bulletin here is called biblical truth. We stand on the scriptures. Our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions are filtered through the God-given lens of the Bible. That's what happens. These are the ways. This is what Jesus did. He quoted scripture. I can't preach on these. It'll be here all day. But biblical truth. This is the way of Jesus. And it's what it looks like when we live walking with the Spirit. The next one's real relationships. Jesus had real relationships. We believe that we're a church with real relationships. We want to grow kingdom community that is authentic, transparent, and life-changing. Another core value we have is selfless service. Does that sound like Jesus? Yes, he came to serve. And we honor God with our time and our talents, with our treasures, in our backyard, our community, and around the world. We bring the hope of Jesus to all people through selfless service. Inspired worship. It's pretty cool. Jesus told us to worship. In fact, anyway, he worshiped. We worship. That's why we're here this morning. It's what we do 24/7. We put God first, loving him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Who said that? Jesus did. And that's what Jesus did. And then Spirit-led living kind of ties them all together. We keep in step with the Spirit of God as he grows and transforms and guides our life. So that's kind of a way to know, hey, I'm walking. He's in the driver's seat. I'm in the passenger seat. These things are showing up in my life. It's showing up in our community here at CCW, showing up wherever we go. People know we're walking with him. And it's a lot, and it's a journey. It's a journey, and it's a journey we can't do on our own. And over the last 3 weeks, there's been times I've scratched my head and go, man, this is crazy. How do we do all this? We trust him. We just do it a moment by moment. We've been promised a helper, a driver, a leader. We ride shotgun. What that means is you and I need to show up. Just show up, man, moment by moment, decision by decision. If you're living in a way that you know the Holy Spirit's saying, nah-uh, and you're saying, uh-huh, and he's saying no, and you're saying yes, you're taking the driver's seat. No. And he'll tell you what those things are. It's a whole nother sermon, but let him drive. And as he does, he will empower us and he'll guide us to live the mission of Jesus. This is the example we have in the disciples that he first taught, and it's the example that we follow today in our mission, which we talked about a few weeks ago. In our vision, in our next steps, the values, the everyday core values that we live. That's why we follow Jesus' example and the example of his followers. So today, I just want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit lead your life, to do these things. If you live by the value of biblical truth, you're going to read your Bible. You're going to live and do what it says. You're going to show up from worship every day, all day. You're gonna have real relationships with people. You're gonna be transparent and open with them. You're gonna find time and place and energy to devote to a small group or to serve other people, selfless service, to serve like Jesus served. That's what it looks like when we're walking with the Spirit, to share our faith, to be generous, to live on the mission of Jesus and bring the hope of Jesus to all people. It starts with us being passengers, allowing the Holy Spirit to drive your life, to drive my life. Not just to Jesus, but with Jesus. And not just with Jesus, but for Jesus and all that we do. I don't know if you believe this is possible or not, but I thought today would be a good idea to just kind of give you an example of somebody in my life that is just really getting a hold of this and has gotten a hold of this with his walk with Jesus. So I want to bring Jeff Jacobs back up to the stage. For just a couple minutes. You might not know this, but Jeff just returned to CCW from a 3-month sabbatical. All right. And he took 3 months off to literally put the Holy Spirit in the driver's seat and say, whatever you want to do, I'm going to get closer to you than I've ever been, do things I've never done. And praise God, our elders and you guys have supported this amongst our ministers. You know that it's not escape from our job. This is our job. Like, you know, hey, the closer we get to God and learn how to follow him, the better. So I just asked Jeff to come up and answer a few questions about his experience of letting the Holy Spirit drive his life over the last few months. How many of y'all knew he was gone, by the way? Look how missed you were, Jeff. Yeah, that's pretty good. But Jeff's journey, I just know a little bit about it. It didn't start with him being at CCW. He and Kara, who just celebrated their, what anniversary? You told me to throw you a zinger, man.
Hold on. 5+ this year. 30 or 29?
I'm asking you now because second service, when she's here, when she's here second service, you better know the answer. Well, the journey started, you know, obviously they came to CCW and Jeff was not a minister at that time. He wasn't a pastor at that time. It wasn't his education. It wasn't what he signed up to do, but the Holy Spirit. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about how that came to be before we fast forward.
My wife's family had moved up to this area and was attending CCW right before we got married, or I don't remember the timing exactly, but we got married and it was way cheaper to buy a house up here than it was in Pasco County, so we headed this way, and so it just made sense to come to CCW. We were 20, so that was 29 years ago, and we were just sitting out there looking at the people on the stage and became volunteers with the youth ministry, children's ministry first, and then kind of kept moving up, and then the youth minister at the church, their names were Eric and Melissa Lang, they showed up. And I didn't want to meet the new youth minister because, you know, they just leave eventually and that hurts. So we stayed away for a little bit, but then we got to know them and started serving with them until I became the youth minister.
Right. So in ministry now, but didn't go to seminary.
No, I was a special ed teacher in the county. And so when the elders did ask, hey, do you want to do this? I said, well, I do have the desire. I can't go to Bible college. I have to have income. I have a family and all these excuses, really. And they said, well, we're not asking you to do any of that. You can if you want, but can you just keep doing what you're doing? And so I said, I'll try it for a year.
I love that because what he was doing was letting the Holy Spirit drive. And and just following little by little, day by day, you know. Watching to see. So yeah, it's a great story. You guys need to talk to Jeff about that and Kara if you want the true story. But it's good. And I want to fast forward 20-something years to today. And back in the spring of last year, we started talking about your sabbatical. And how did that go about, just the planning of that 3 months, letting the Spirit drive that time away?
I didn't know how to do it, but I saw Joe do it year and a half beforehand. And so I just knew I would get some time off. And I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do. So I got to know from Joe. One of Joe's best buddies, Keith Smith, is a minister in Dade City. I started talking to him, who had just recently come off a sabbatical. And I said, okay, it gives me, I just get a rest. And so I can do all the things that I can't do between the 40, 50 hours and the kids' schedules, all that kind of just goes away. But I love to plan stuff. A normal family vacation for us was a folder with the mileage to a location and a confirmation number and how much fuel we would consume just to get to the next thing and the tickets for whatever. And
I got to ask you, are you the driver or the passenger on this
trip? I am the driver. Okay, so I like that. And so I like schedules and as I planned, the first thing I didn't know was it was hard after a couple of weeks to not work.
Hmm. Letting go of, I hate to say it this way, but letting go of the wheel, was it tough?
Yeah, yep. way harder than I thought. The average time of a vacation was over, and I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do for 2.5 months? Like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Were there certain bullet points or things that you thought, all right, if I could ask the Holy Spirit or ask God to do this in my life, what would it be? Were there things starting out that you...
Yeah, the first thing, we just wanted to learn to be still, mm-hmm. which raising five kids, having a granddaughter, there's always a schedule, there's always something to do. And I guess I didn't know that I liked there always being something to do. I maybe dream of retirement, but you retirees tell me that you're busier than you've ever been, some of you at least. So just trying to, but it didn't feel like a retirement. It didn't feel like a vacation. It was, looking back, it was a struggle. What we wanted to do was stop, recalibrate, and then go visit some people that we hadn't got to see in a lot of years, and then do some fun stuff, like go on a train because we've never taken a train ride, and do some things that we've never done. So that's what we thought was happening.
Yeah. So So now you're in it, and I know because we've talked, but there were some certain times and moments where you knew, hey, the Holy Spirit's in the driver's seat. Like, this isn't, yeah, maybe they weren't planned, and situations happened, and they had impact on your life. So
yeah, one of the parts of this, after the stillness ended, I went to a minister's retreat in Colorado with Eli Robinson, the youth minister. So I kind of had, it's the first time I'd seen him in a month, but we headed out there, and it was the time that the hurricane was pointed directly at Tampa Bay, and I was in Colorado. And so I'm meeting all these ministers that were saying, aren't you glad you're not there? And I'm like, no, because my family and everyone that I care about, the hurricane is coming. So I kind of just want to go home. And so again, another struggle. Also, I was suffering from altitude sickness because I live in Florida and we were at plus 9,000 feet and on a mountain. So there was some physical things happening, some spiritual things happening, lots of tugging during that portion of the trip.
Yeah, did you feel tension? Like, this is hard, harder than you thought. We think, where do I sign up? I want to get out of Dodge for 3 months. Like, how do I do this? But there really is some cost involved in that. So, yeah, and you felt the tension of that? How'd Kara do?
What let me finish the retreat was, I called her because I was having trouble sleeping, and she said, the kids and I accomplished everything that you would have done to prepare us for a hurricane. You don't need to be here. And that was the first time in the first couple of days that I thought, oh, and then it kept trending further and further south, and then we huddled around the minister from the Fort Myers area that it looked like it was going to affect them more than it was us. And it turned out one of the reasons why we don't worry about tomorrow is because the hurricane did impact some of us, but not to the degree that it looked like right before it got here. So she did great at that part.
So you're saying you decided to take, you're obviously not working, and now you're not at home, and somehow God filled in the gaps and ran the world without you. For a couple days, a couple weeks.
Yeah, it turns out he's pretty good at that.
Yeah. Yep. So were there times, like lessons that you knew, all right, God's teaching me something here. This is something I'm going to remember, something that I want to remember, something I can share with other people. But, moments where you knew the Holy Spirit was giving you lessons along the way.
Yeah, we got to hang out with the minister who married us, who was our children's minister growing up. We got to go have a meal with him, and he's still a preacher. He still loves the Lord. Life has been high and life has been low for him, and he still is preaching the word. That was an encouragement. We went to the youth minister that was here before us, which really kept saying, Jeff, you can do this if you just trust God. And I thought, I don't know if that's ever going to be an opportunity for me. We got to spend a week with them at a pivotal time. Her mom was about to head into hospice care. Mm. And so she was like, no, you guys are here. My family needs to take care of mom. I've been the primary caretaker for a while. And I think stuff that we don't know yet was happening. So that her family, there was a day she received a call. She was in tears. And I said, listen, if we need to go on a call, I'm all for it, because I really wanted to go do some real ministry. Send me to the hospital. I'd love to meet your mom. And no, my family's there. They're going to take care of this. You leave tomorrow. I'll head down there. And all that timing just worked out perfect, that nothing was interrupted, and I think we benefited, they benefited, the family probably benefited in some way. Just that was a special, special week.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. What would you say is your favorite lesson? Like your favorite, like, man, the Spirit was in this. It's something that's going to stick with me, like it's just etched in you.
The big overview was I got really good at doing tasks. Like I do get paid to come here and do things, but I valued that a little higher than I realized. And being with God sometimes was more of a checklist because, you know, I have to read my Bible and I have to finish this book and I have to pray and I have to do all this stuff so that I can tell other people, yes, I'm doing my checklist of things that makes me, you know, a good Christian. And all of a sudden that wasn't a thing. It was unsatisfying. I started to hate that part about me. Just my perspective. All those things are still good. But because I'm a checklist person and I like a schedule and I want to be in control, like I felt like one of my many crises was that my relationship with God wasn't what it should be. I had accepted a fake version of a checklist instead of being. So the phrase being with God over doing for God became the focus of the stillness and the break. And I just needed to learn again in a new way to be with God and that be okay without doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Accept the gift and know.
Yeah, Keith, who has guided me through this, just said, hey, you're about to head out. If you need something, shoot me a message. We're going to be praying for you. I had a prayer team that I could shoot some messages to. But he just, the last thing he said was, just accept the gift. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no, there is going to be gifts along the way. Just make sure you say yes. And so part of doing and giving is my wife, huge gift giver. She likes to give. She has taught me how to be a better giver over the years. We don't really like receiving things. That's weird. It makes us feel awkward. We're denying other people's blessing by giving to us. So we've learned that lesson. But we had him saying yes, the generosity of the church just won for letting us be gone, and the generosity of the staff for picking up where things would need to get picked up was already huge, but some people from the church offered a vacation rental, and we got to go accept the gift and do some things that we normally wouldn't do.
We're going to wrap up, and I'd like you to share something, like maybe a challenge or something you would offer to us, because obviously most people can't do what you did, but maybe, and also, I want you to just tell us about the sign, all right, on your way out too, because that's, and you know, we're going to pray and have another song. But
the big lesson is just being with God is enough. I stopped the lists and just sat with God for way more time than I ever gave to a Bible study or some prayer time or listening to music, however it is that you feel close to God. It was just in a different way, and I liked it. I felt close. And we went to a gift store. This is after sabbatical. I took a couple weeks of vacation because we took a family vacation and Brody got married. And so I didn't want to come back to chaos in my personal life and try to work. But we were in it's a gift store, but it wasn't a thrift store that we like or an antique store. It was like a shop of odd things. So there was just a ton of signs on a wall. And I finished shopping very quickly compared to some family members. So I was taking my second lap around the store just to show patience and teamwork. And I saw this sign, and I like snarky signs. So this is in my office now. It says, technically, the glass is always full. Because, you know, the saying about, are you a half full or half empty person? I'm like, well, it is full. It's just half full of water and half full of air. I like the sign. And as I walked around the store waiting for the family, I was like, I came back to the sign and I stared at it for a while, and I was like, no, this is what I learned at sabbatical. Is part of that is you rest. You have to rest, because if you have nothing to offer, how am I going to minister to people when the time comes? And so you have to be careful about the rest and stuff. And so you're emptying yourself out, or the glasses, and you have to fill yourself back up. And I think that's why Sunday morning isn't enough. I know this is going to fill you up for this morning, but tomorrow you're going to start to empty out, and there has to be something in your relationship with God that fills you back up. Don't wait till next Sunday. That's just, it's not going to work. From experience, I can tell you that. But the sign to me was, even when I was empty and needing a break and just begging to be refilled, God was always with me. My checklist didn't always allow that. Oh, this isn't my God time. This is just my work time or my church time or my friend time or my family time. But God is always with me, and the Spirit is indwelled inside of me. And so if I'm looking at it correctly and my relationship is right, I'm always full, even when life is horrible, even when I'm wore out, even when I don't think I can talk to one more person, I can, because God is with me. That's what the sign is for.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah. I'm asking you to pray for us, and I will sing, but you know, taking a day during the week, taking an hour during the day, taking a minute during the hour, I mean, those are the times when you realize, hey, you know, maybe it's not a long vacation, or this wasn't a vacation. It was time with God. You know, you really did an incredible thing, and appreciate you doing that. But on a daily basis, we can, and I know because I was blessed with a sabbatical myself, that I'm able to have a daily sabbatical now. It doesn't look like it did, but I still have that gift in me. You know, I know the Spirit is crying out to be with, you know, like, hey, let's just be together. So man, I know we share that, and I want to share that with you and just encourage you to have that time during the day, during the week, maybe even a week during the year. Just kind of see how it looks in your life, like it does in Jeff's. So you want to pray for us?
Mm. I will, and I also feel led to share this, is that I admire some of the people that speak up on the stage, and I love the way that they pray for the congregation, with the congregation. And on sabbatical, I never had to be fancy or polished, and I just started talking to God, and my prayers were like a real conversation. So one of the things that I noticed when I came back and started doing announcements this month was that, I started talking to God a way that I'm not sure translates real good on a microphone in front of a church that's being recorded, that's going to be on the internet. I don't know if people care about stuff like that, but that's one of the things. So this might be a little different, but I'm going to pray like I'm just hanging out on sabbatical with God. Mm-hmm. And please don't be mad at me when we're done. All right. God, I typically have a list of things that I feel like I need to pray to you about, but I have nothing, and that's okay, because you are here with me. And if I was sitting in a chair next to you, I think you'd be smiling, and you couldn't wait to hear the words that come out of my mouth, and somehow that is just super comforting. And that makes me think about the people who don't have a relationship with you. How on earth do they get through their day? How on earth is life ever okay? But I know life is okay for some people that don't know you, and sometimes it's not. But just help me let that be tension inside of my head, that is one of those things I'll wonder about, that I'll only learn about from time to time. And I just need to thank you now for everything. Thank you for my family. Thank you for church. Thank you for your son. I don't always know exactly what to say, but I just feel right spending this time just sitting next to you. And now I just want to shut up, because sometimes I talk too much, and I just want to listen to you. What is it that you have for me today in this moment? And sometimes just spending time like this in the quiet, just makes everything right again. I am full, and I thank you for this. I'll pray this all in your son's precious name. Amen.